We're in a series on Sunday night called Approaching God. Very important. In certain ways, we need to approach God. And I want you to turn to Psalm 100 tonight, please. I want to speak on the subject of approaching God thankfully. We're still sort of in the Thanksgiving mode and time of the year. But we need to approach God thankfully. I'm glad we know God. I'm glad we can approach God, but we need to approach Him in a right way, and God will bless us as we do. Psalm 100, beginning with verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen? Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's a beautiful psalm. I love the psalms, and that one is a very, very beautiful psalm. Now, all of us have trials, don't we? I can remember, after I graduated from Bible Baptist Seminary, we felt led of the Lord to go to Roanoke, Virginia. And I was going to be, I had a man ask me this morning, what have you done in the past? How have you served? He's doing a college project. And I said, well, I started out as a youth director. But I remember having a 1962 Buick Electra, very used Buick Electra. And that was in 1967. And so I had to pull all of our belongings in a U-Haul trailer. You know, when you're students, you don't have a lot of that stuff that you accumulate over the years and wonder what you're going to do with. But after we die, let's let the kids handle that. You know, they can take care of that. But we loaded that trailer up. And before I did that, I went down to a mechanic and I said, tell me that my transmission's good and everything and I can pull that trailer. He said, that'll be fine. We'll tighten up the bands, whatever. I don't know. He probably lied about it. But at any rate, he said, we'll check it out. And he did. It was Vandegrift Buick. And so I took off pulling that trailer. We got to Birmingham, Alabama. And I felt like I was hearing a lot of crickets in my engine. Sound like about 10,000 crickets out there in my engine. And I knew that the RPM sounded louder than they should have been. And so we stopped by Carolyn's brothers and his wife there in Birmingham. And we had a meal with them and got on our way. And then we stopped and a few times headed toward Roanoke. And I could tell those bands were slipping. Boy, when we got in the mountains, I could really tell it. And we'd be going pretty slow, and the motor would be going about 100 miles an hour. And boy, it got worse and worse. And I thought, I'm never going to get this trailer in Roanoke. I'm never going to. You have some pretty big Blue Ridge Mountains right there that you go over. And so we got down in the valley, and that thing was slipping so bad, I thought I could never get over the next mountain. And I just pulled that car and trailer over. My son was about the size of his son now. He's outgrown that since then. But at any rate, he was in the car, and I just said, you and Carolyn just, I said to Carolyn, you and Phil just stay in the car. I'll be back in a minute. I ran, jumped a fence. I could do that back in those days. Ran up on the side of that mountain, got down on my knees, and I said, God, please, please get this Buick into Roanoke, Virginia. And I was just, you know, we didn't have any money. I didn't know how in the world we were going to make it. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I knew that we were in trouble. But I got on my knees and prayed. Got back in the car, and we barely made it over the next mountain. And thank God the downward trek was a lot easier. And we got down, and that was the last mountain as we went into the Roanoke Valley. And we finally pulled up in front of her mother's and daddy's. That's just one trial. That was one way back that's outstanding to me. I won't tell you that I probably put two transmissions in that car and it never did work. And then my boss's daughter, I was working sales work for a little while, she ran into it and lied about it and wouldn't admit it. And but, you know, we use that. Where's Brother Gillett? Wave at me. Where'd you go? We use that thing in youth work. We'd haul, we'd roll pennies, and you could buy 3 gallons of gas for a dollar back then. That was a long time ago. And we'd roll those pennies and buy gas, and I'd run that old Buick transmission slip, and those kids didn't care, didn't matter the length to them as long as somebody picked them up. We had trials, and you can think, that's just one. You can think of some. Some of you are relating to that tonight, and you say, yeah, I remember something like that, or something worse, something more difficult. But all of us can pray fervently during those times of trial like I did on that side of that mountain. And that's okay. God's not against that. That's fine that we would do that. But sometimes in our praying, as a general rule, I think there's a missing element called thankfulness. Most of the time we're saying, gimme, 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 I need this, I need this, I need this. Help me, Lord. And I don't think that troubles him like it would a regular papa who's limited in his ability to provide those requests. But we need to slow down sometimes. We're quick to ask for a need, but sometimes slow to say, thank you, Lord. To just take the time to slow down and spend maybe 30 minutes just thanking God for all of his blessings. You know, there's not a parent in here, I don't think, but what you probably are very thankful if your children say to you, thank you. In fact, some of you, when they do that, and you get over, you pick yourself up off the floor because you almost faint because they say thank you. But it's a good feeling, is it not, when they say thank you? I've got an old 1957 Cushman motor scooter. And it's one of those that it's not even covered up in the frame. I paid $195, I think, for it back at Sears in 1962 when I started the Bible college. My uncle was a pastor out here. He had to co-sign for me. And so I've kept that thing, and one of my Sunday school classes rebuilt it for me a number of years ago back in Indiana, one of those poor farmers who had enough money to do that, and they got it and made it a project and so on and so forth. And I've kept that old motor scooter. I think I'm going to be needing it again. It gets about 100 miles to the gallon. It's only 2.5 horsepower. And I think I'm ready. I'm ready for whatever comes. I'm glad I kept the thing. And it's worth a whole lot more than that now. Somewhere around probably $4,000 or $5,000. And I'm glad I wish I'd have bought 40 of them, you know, but I just didn't have the money. But I said all that to say that the other day, Drake, our grandson, Phil, and Jacob, Jerry, was coming over for Thanksgiving. And so I thought, well, I know he wants to ride that thing. I know, not Phil, but Drake. I know he wants to ride that thing. And so I remember when I first let him get on it, took him out in the field, and I said, now, you can do it. You can do it. Go on. I made him ride it. And he was a little nervous, and all of a sudden he came and hit a ditch. And he just looked at me like, Papa, I could kill you. You know, he almost fell off the thing. But he wanted to ride it the other day. But here's the thing that I liked about it. It was cold. It was rainy. I changed the oil in it, put gas in it, fired it up. It'll fire up every year pretty easily. And when he got there, I had it sitting there ready for him. I said, now here, you can take off and ride it. And so we went out together, and then he rode it some by himself. But you know what I liked about it? When it was all over with and they got ready to go, he said, Papa, thank you for getting that ready for me and spending the time on it and letting me ride it. I said, nah, that's exactly why I did it. And I'm so glad he said thank you. And he's embarrassed. Now he's turning red over there. But he said thank you. And I don't think Phil made him say it or Jerry. I think he just walked up to me and thanked me for it. You know, God's that way. Not that God feels insecure, but it's just something God would like to hear from us every once in a while, where we'd say, Lord, thank you, thank you. By the way, Jacob got the cozy coop. That one's been around a long time too, but you have to push it. Someday he'll get the scooter. I just didn't want to get in trouble with Jerry, so I said that. So we like to hear thank you, don't we? There's not a grandparent or a parent here that doesn't like to hear somebody say thank you. But sometimes in our self-centered, selfish world, our self-serving world, we forget to thank God for all of his blessings and all that God does for us. Some of us need to stop complaining and start thanking God and turn our complaints into thanksgiving. Psalm 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms, with songs. And I believe that's a reflection of the heart. David was saying, that ought to come from my heart. We ought to have a thankful heart. And I believe this, according to the Bible, thankful people are joyful people. That's what the Bible teaches. Thankful people are joyful people. And we need to have a joyful heart. It shows an inner attitude. Verse 1 again, Psalm 101, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's a heart of thanksgiving. We are filled with joy, and we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The songwriter, Johnson Oatman Jr., you're familiar with these words, when upon life's billows you're tempest tossed, when you're discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If we just stop and count our blessings. Thankful people, I believe, are joyful people. Then I think thankful people are serving people. Look at verse 2. He says, rejoice or be joyful. But verse 2 says, do what? What's that first word? Say it with me. Serve. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve. Thankful people are a serving people. Service is a natural way of expressing to God that we're thankful that He saved us and for all that He does for us. And it's a way for us to let Him know that we don't forget Calvary. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. What constrains us? The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. It's the love of Christ that ought to constrain us. Remember Calvary. Two questions it would be good for us to ask ourselves. Number one, are you serving God? If you're not, serve Him somewhere. Number two, here's a good question. Why? Why are you serving God? Are you serving God? If so, where? And then answer the question, why are we serving God? It ought to be from an overflow of a thankful heart. It should be what the Scripture says, the love of Christ gets a hold of us, constrains us to serve the Lord. And that's the kind of service, by the way, that's going to endure the test of time. You know, we have some Christians who serve the Lord a while, and then they quit. But I believe that a person who has a thankful heart is going to endure and keep on and keep on and keep on. As long as they live, they're going to serve God, because they understand that they owe God everything. Then a thankful people, I believe, are a praising people. It sort of ties in with the joy, but they are praising people. Go back to verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Now, I hate to say this, but I saw some of you not singing tonight. And that suggests to me there's no joy there. Something's wrong. Now, you may have a frog in your throat, and that's acceptable. I remember a guy walked in one Sunday, and he told me, I said, how you doing? He said, I can't hardly talk. He said, I've got laryngitis. So I get up and I decide to call on somebody to pray. Guess who I called on to pray? I called on that guy to pray. And he looked at me like, I just talked to you and told you I couldn't talk. And sometimes you have laryngitis or sore throat. You have some other problems. And that's acceptable. There may be physical reasons. But beloved, let me tell you something. If you can sing, you ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, just to let Him know that you're thankful, that you praise Him. Open the cotton picking songbook and sing along. And if you don't do it, you're just advertising that you're not as thankful as you should be. Because that's what the Bible says. Come before His presence. Do you think we're in His presence tonight? Come before His presence with singing. And I believe that that's part of what God expects out of us. Heartfelt singing is a natural overflow. I just love to see people just singing, just opening up and singing their hearts away. I just love to see that, because you know they just feel with the joy of the Lord. They might even stop in the middle of the song and say amen. It upsets their neighbor, but they can do it. Go ahead and do it anyway. The joy of the Lord. Hallelujah, and thank God for the privilege of singing praises unto Him. Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace, streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise when we count our blessings. You see, no matter how bad, we ought to be able to say, I have a great God. And God is able to take me through those things. He is indeed, in fact, the fount of every blessing that we have tonight. And then I believe thankfulness brings action. In verse 4, he says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The word enter there indicates that there's something going on. There's movement. There's life. There's cause. There is purpose. And so he says, enter. I believe that thankful Christians are Christians who are going to go to church, don't you? Do you know why some of our members, you look around and see all these empty pews, you know why some of them aren't here tonight? Some of them, it's because of their age and they cannot see, and I understand that. I had lunch with Dr. and Ms. Henderson, and Dr. Henderson does not drive, and Mrs. Henderson has some difficulties with her eyesight. She doesn't like to drive at night, and he said, now, we won't be back to church tonight, and here's why. Well, I understand those things. And sometimes they are legitimate things, but I'm going to tell you why most of them are not here tonight. They don't have a thankful heart. Because the Bible teaches that if you have a thankful heart, you say, that's too narrow, that's too straight. No, that's just Bible. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God says when the church meets, when we assemble, you say, well, I just wish our church would have a Sunday morning service. Beloved, there are a lot of them out there. You're welcome to go to them if you want to. But we have Sunday night service, and I really expect the members to be here. Because they're part of this local body. And I'm glad you're here. And I thank God that you're here tonight. But I think that shows you have a thankful heart. Now, I could say something about Wednesday night, but I'll just move right on. But exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day approaching? The coming of Christ. And he says, if we have a thankful heart, we're going to go to church. Corporate worship. Go to church. Give thanks. Thanks will always, I believe, involve giving. I've never understood, never in my life, understood how somebody could take the gift of eternal life and then have to wrestle with tithes and giving offerings to God. That makes no sense whatsoever under the sun, and it is totally contradictory to the Word of God. You say, preacher, you just don't know my bills. I just know your priorities aren't right. If your priorities are right, God's going to get the first 10% and more out of that, and you will never miss it. And you'll feel good about not robbing God. Amen? Just thought I'd whirl that one in there a little bit. But thanks is always going to involve giving. Oh, preacher, if I give, I won't ever have any problems. I don't say that. I didn't preach that. But I can tell you, at least you'll know that that's not the reason for your problems. I was preaching on problems this morning. Sometimes it isn't that you're out of God's will that you have those problems. It's just that God wants to test your faith and see what's going on in your life and if you really trust Him. But the right thing to do is always give. And I believe we give God praise when we do that. We give Him praise, we give Him substance. That's money. Every time you write a check, every time you sing a song, every time you serve the Lord, whatever you're doing to serve Him, you're saying, Lord, I worship You. I thank You for saving my undeserving soul and the fact that I'm going to heaven. I thank You for that because You've saved my soul. And then worship turns into action and not just talk. A lot of Christians can talk it, but they don't walk it. I believe that thankfulness turns into action and it turns into something that is real. Shortly after World War II, there was a pastor in a church that was in a remodeling program, some type of building program. And so there were a couple of families after the service that were waiting in line to talk to the pastor for just a little while. And so they had waited, and one family went up to the pastor and said, Pastor, our son went across the water, and he was in the service, and he died. And he was killed in the war just a couple of months before the war was ended. And we want to give this $200 in his memory. And the pastor was very impressed and took it. And that was a lot more money back then. And so he thanked them for it. There was another couple standing by, and they heard what was said. They were standing in line to make a contribution of $200. And whenever they heard what that other couple said, that they had given their son, and they gave $200, they came to the pastor. And they said, "Pastor, our son went across the water too, but he came back home safely. And Pastor, we were going to give $200, but now we're going to give $500 because we have a double blessing because of the fact that we're thankful for the fact that you brought our son back to us." And I believe that's the kind of attitude we ought to have if we just stop and think about and consider our blessings. Someone has said, thankfulness is thankfulness. Amen. Thankfulness is thankfulness. In fact, the word thankfulness comes from the old Anglo-Saxon word thankfulness. That's actually where thankfulness comes from that word, those words. And it is the term that we use. They use the term thankfulness, and we use the term thankfulness. In other words, here's the implication. If you'll take time to think thankfulness, then you will automatically have time to thank God. Thankfulness. Because when we think, we know what God has done for us. And it implies time to think to do that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Here's the invitation tonight. I want to encourage you to lay aside all of your problems tonight and focus for the next few minutes. Don't think about the restaurant where you're going to eat. Don't think about the TV program you're going to watch. Don't think about all the sports scores you're going to find out about. But right now, I'm just asking you for the next few minutes just to think and focus on all that God has done for you and how God has blessed you. And I'm going to encourage you to be thankful and express it to Almighty God. If you want to come to the altar to do that, that would be good. If you want to stay where you are, that would be good. But I hope that we'll be thankful. And you know what? When you have a thankful heart, listen to me, your trials seem smaller. It's true. When you have a thankful heart, they seem smaller. And that's what God was saying in our text. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Be thankful. Give God praise. In all of those verses, we're saying the very same thing throughout the 100th Psalm. If you're here tonight and you're lost, focus on God's love, God's grace, and God's provision for you, because He wants to give you the gift of eternal life. Shall we stand with our heads bowed? Father, oh God, help us to think. Help us to be joyful Christians, singing Christians, serving Christians, giving Christians. Help us to be Christians of action, that in our lives we might express to you and say to you, we're thankful, so thankful. God, I want to thank you tonight for saving my soul. I was lost on my way to hell, a sinner. Thank you for saving me. If there's one here that's not saved, save them tonight. I know you want to. And Lord, those of us that know the name of Christ, probably everybody here, with few exceptions, help us to count our blessings. Help us to think and be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.